And thank you for joining us here for another episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. While new sustainable aviation fuel tax credit rulemaking has additional requirements for farmers' crops to qualify for the SAF market, corn farmers have to use three production practices in growing their crops, including no-till, cover crops, and applying enhanced efficiency nitrogen fertilizer. For soybeans, it requires two practices to be used on the acreage, including no-till and cover crops. Rodney Weinzierl, executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, isn't happy with the additional requirements.
It is the first time that the government is telling farmers, in this case who grow corn, that in order for their product to better compete as a feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel, these are the practices that they need to use in the product they produce, which is corn. From a good point, this relates to a tax credit called 40B, which actually expires at the end of 24, but it will become the building block of a new tax credit that takes effect on January 1st of 2025, called 45Z.
He says 45Z isn't expected to be released until after the presidential election. The Treasury Department's current rulemaking is very concerning.
When we think about all the corn produced in Illinois, we have about 4-point-something% of the row crops that have cover crops in front of them. We believe that is more soybeans than corn. And when you layer that with management of nitrogen and no-till corn, we're thinking that the number of acres in Illinois is around 1% that would qualify for this particular rule. And that's assuming that 1% of the corn acres is around one particular ethanol plant that chooses to produce ethanol for sustainable aviation fuel.
And Weinzierl says the requirements make producing sustainable aviation fuel much more complicated and will keep SAF production from reaching its full potential. While spring weather has been very active in parts of farm country, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey spoke at NAFB's Washington Watch and says the country's weather pattern is currently in transition.
We are clearly in transition from El Nino to La Nina right now. The atmosphere, North America and elsewhere, is still acting like it's El Nino. Very active weather pattern with everything you see with the hail, the high winds, the tornadoes out in the midsection. That's classic spring El Nino. But we're going to lose that over the next couple of weeks to a few months. For people that are getting the moisture now, hold on to that, especially in the middle part of the country, because I do have concerns that we could see some dryness that's already starting to pop up in places like southwest Kansas, southeast Colorado, could begin to spread as we head deeper into the warm season.
Rippey says the forecast models are showing some dry weather on the way in parts of rural America.
A lot of the dynamical and statistical guidance does show drought developing. Rockies, High Plains region potentially starting to spread a little bit to the east. But with that transition to El Nino, that also means that we expect a very, very active Atlantic tropical basin. And so we could see a pretty fine line between dry conditions, high plains, and relatively wet conditions in parts of the southern and eastern U.S. That would include the eastern Corn Belt. Whether that tropical moisture is organized or disorganized mid to late summer into autumn, that should allow for fairly wet conditions. Gulf Coast, Atlantic Coast, probably extending into the eastern Corn Belt, Ohio Valley region. So we may be sharpening up that gradient between drought and wetness as we move through this growing season.
And dry conditions are likely in the high plains this summer, according to Rippey, with wet conditions further to the east. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council reacting to the White House Council on Environmental Quality's final Phase 2 rule that amends the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, and they say will make the process even more burdensome for livestock producers, saying that the White House Council on Environmental Quality, their new NEPA rule, ignores Congress and increases bureaucratic red tape. Caitlin Glover, NCBA Executive Director of Natural Resources and PLC Executive Director, saying, quote, in a statement, in a time when the Biden administration should be focusing on reducing regulatory burden on themselves and their partners, this new NEPA framework does the opposite. The Biden administration largely ignored the requirements Congress passed in the Fiscal Responsibility Act that would streamline NEPA processes. Instead, this final rule changes the focus of NEPA, making it more ambiguous, less targeted, and nearly impossible to navigate. This rule will make federal permitting, including for grazing permits, so much more difficult and expensive, and gives radical activist groups further license to weaponize NEPA against ranchers and rural communities. Again, that's comments from Caitlin Glover with the NCBA and the Public Lands Council reacting to the White House Council on Environmental Quality's final phase two rule amending the National Environmental Policy Act. You can learn more online. Just go to publiclandscouncil.org. Well, the Farm First Dairy Cooperative of Madison, Wisconsin announced Mick Holm as its new general manager. The co-op represents farmers in Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. As he takes over the new role, Holm says there are challenges facing the U.S. dairy industry.
The challenges, I think, to me are trying to make it so it's feasible. It's a hard enough world to live in, let alone being a farmer. I would like to be able to have some input on trying to help or be included in something to get a better milk price for the farmer.
As for the modernization process for the federal milk marketing orders continues, Holmes says dairy farmers need a better price for their product.
They're looking at the class one mover and how they do that. What you hear on the farm or what you hear from the farmers all the time is everything else has risen cost-wise, inflation-wise, but yet the price of milk that the farmers get paid is still back in 30 and 40 years ago. I'm hoping that we can try to find things that will be of benefit for the farmers and maybe put a little more money in their pockets or on their paychecks.
And again, Mick Holm is the new general manager at the Farm First Dairy Cooperative in Madison, Wisconsin. A co-op, again, representing farmers in Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. And finally, here on the program today, the Texas corn producers, Texas sorghum producers, and national sorghum producers have petitioned the Fifth Circuit for review of the fuel economy test procedures in the Environmental Protection Agency's new multi-pollutant emission standards for model years 2027 and later light-duty and medium-duty vehicles. The rule lays out EPA's electric vehicle mandate, to which the agency expects automakers to respond by making 69% of new vehicles electric or plug-in hybrid by 2032. And the groups say that buried within that mandate, there is a regulation setting fuel economy test procedures that arbitrarily and illegally penalize ethanol and liquid-fueled vehicles, which ultimately penalizes the corn sorghum farmers who contribute to U.S. ethanol production. Now, Texas Corn Producers Executive Vice President David Gibson saying, quote, EPA's regulations are bad for ethanol and perpetuate the false narrative that cars are not suited to operate on E10 or E15, let alone on E20 or E30, end quote. That's going to do it for American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.